Now, Democrats are feeling very good tonight. We've saved the country from the scourge of default, even though there were some on the other side who wanted default, wanted to lead us to default. You may be a little tired, but we did it.
But don't feel sorry for me. We're a little tired. We worked a little bit hard. You did your job. That's fine. We saved the country from those evil Republicans. Yeah, well, okay. I guess that's when you create a fight this way, you give them the ability to brag about that, since in the House it took more Democrats and Republicans to pass the bill. And, of course, in the Senate, about a 2-1 majority wound up passing this bill. And if Chuck Schumer wants to, you know, take a strut walk, I guess he's going to. It's interesting to me, though, because, like, this whole time, you haven't heard me talk an awful lot about this, and mostly because I thought, first of all, what difference does it make? Second, it would make a difference if we defaulted, but I knew, I mean, you can't know such a thing, but I basically assumed that they were going to work out a deal, because they always work out a deal. It's always like this. Oh, God, it's a crisis. No, what are we going to do? Oh, we're going to end everything. The world's going to collapse. Oh, look, there's a deal at the last minute. It just, you get tired of the show. I get tired of the show. And, you know, people compare it, and I think I do too, to Kabuki theater. You know, the difference is that in Kabuki theater, the audience knows that it's just a show. And in D.C., they pretend it's real. I'm just not convinced. But even like this whole debt limit thing itself is, we've never violated it. And every time we get close to it, we just raise it. Or in this case, we've eliminated it entirely. Well, it's funny. We haven't eliminated it, but we've said it doesn't apply right now for another year and a half. Until the new president is in place, and then it'll go back to applying, and then we'll be way over it, and then what will you do? Oh, well, you know, it's just such an artificially dumb thing, because it's the meaningless envelope, you know, the Dave Ramsey system of, you know, you put your $500 in there, and that's your food budget for the month, or $1,000 or whatever it's going to be, and then if you run out of money before you run out of month, well, I mean, you'd be hungry, but the debt limit doesn't work that way. You get to the 23rd and you ran out of money, and well, we'll just raise it and we'll just put more money into the envelope every time. And in this case, they didn't put more money in the envelope. They just said, you know, we're done pretending there's an envelope. Right. So it's just such a nonsense, artificial crisis that it's always this dance. It's always this way. And just, can you guys be adults? Can you just be adults for a little while and solve some of these things? And no, of course, the answer is no. 437-1620. Meanwhile, so the president's going to sign this, you know, whatever. And then the other news of the day, which is equally Kabuki theater, not news, is that the Congress and the Senate even passed this to declare that the president doesn't have the authority, or they're going to undo the executive action to cancel all the student debt, you know, the 10,000 or the 20,000. And so that was was that a 52-48 vote? You had a couple of Democrats and Kirsten Sinema, you know, Joe Manchin, and was it Toomey is the other one? I forget. Anyway, who voted for it. And that's going to go to the president under. And this is, by the way, this is like the Review Act authority, the one that says that if we don't believe that you're acting within your constitutional authority, or you're not, you know, acting within a funding that we've granted, we can vote against your executive actions. It's a step in the right direction. The problem, of course, is that they can vote with the majority to undo a president's executive action. Then he can veto it, and they still have a 2/3 to override. I wish it didn't take a 2/3 to override an executive action. It seems like Congress, with a mere majority, should be able to invalidate an executive action, because it's under congressionally granted authority that executive actions would have existed in the first place. Right, the president says, well, I already have this authority based on what Congress has given me the power to do already. That's his argument. He already has the authority to do this. They don't have to specially give it to me. Well, if a majority of the Congress can tell him you don't have that authority, that to me should be enough to prevent an executive action. It shouldn't need a veto override, because what president is going to create an executive action and then not veto the vote to stop the executive action? It's kind of a weird nonsense scenario. Anyway, so I think that the Congressional Review Act is a little bit weak in its structure, But it's something, you know, it's a step, okay? It's a baby step in the right direction. 7:15 here on News Radio 92.3. Meanwhile, we're just keeping an eye at a distance, kind of side-eyeing this storm that's out in the Gulf now, Tropical Depression 2 for the very young hurricane season. It's moving south. It's basically right off of the coast of Florida. I mean, it's west of south of Sarasota. It's actually moved south a little bit since earlier this morning. It was just sitting there. Just sitting there stewing right at the east-west of Sarasota. Now it's moved a little bit south. It's going to go down to Cuba, and then it's going to bend back northeast and kind of come over the southern tip of Florida. And the only reason I tell you that is because anything that can come to the southern tip of Florida can take other paths also. Nobody's expecting that. Nobody's thinking that will happen. And it's only a tropical depression that's likely to break up. But, you know, it is hurricane season. Just, you know, be aware. 7:15 on News Radio. Oh, God, did you see the flooding in Texas? Oh, my God. They got in Lubbock, I think it was, got 3 to 4 inches of rain, and they had a whole highway got wiped out with flooding. People were stuck in their cars, and they had to get out of their abandoned. They had a fire truck got stuck in the rain. Like, it was bad, and it wasn't that big of a rain. I mean, 3 to 4 inches is a lot, but it's not a huge thing. So, man, flash flooding is no joke. Take it seriously. What do they always say? Turn around, don't drown, right? Gracie is in for Candy again today. Candy will be back on Monday. Gracie's got traffic on the fives.
Our roadways are looking good. No accidents to report. I-10 and I-110 not showing any delays. If you do see something slowing you down, just give me a call to the traffic line, 850-262-6111. And this traffic report is brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Executive Landscaping is celebrating 40 years in business on the Gulf Coast. You can call them today for your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle and you're deciding between new and used, okay. Go to the dealership, look at the new. Go to Frontier, look at the 1 year old, right? Or two, maybe years old. And then you decide if the price is justified for buying the new versus, I mean, that's an adult decision. But the reason we bought from Frontier in the first place is because they had selection. They literally had a car we wanted to test drive that nobody else had. And it was kind of a weird gap. I know it's a little hard to explain, but we were looking to test drive a Honda Odyssey that was a year old. We didn't want to drive one that was brand new because they were changing the model style. And with the ones that were older, we didn't want to drive those either because that wasn't appropriate. The pre-owned certifieds, you couldn't drive because they get bought before they were available to drive and when they were cleaned up. So it was like this weird paradox where we just couldn't find this car. And we called it our unicorn as a joke. We found one at Frontier one day. Well, let's go drive it. Turned out to be the right color, the one that we wanted, and we thought, well, we're not going to buy it. And that's what we told them. We're not buying a car because we didn't need one just yet. We just wanted to test drive it to be ready. And so they said, well, I mean, do you want to see a price? I'm like, well, I did drive your car. I probably should look at a price. Oh, that's a good price. Can you lower it a little? Yeah. Well, we're not buying a car, but can you give us a day? Sure. Can you lower it just a little more? Sure. I guess we are buying a car. I mean, like, it was that easy for us to buy from them. And we've had a great experience with them before, during, and after, same as other people. That's why when you see all the license plate frames and all the bumper stickers riding around town, those are also endorsements. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Have you ever made a spiritual bucket list? In Proverbs 30, a man named Agur makes his spiritual bucket list. He asks God to grant him 2 things before he dies, and his prayer is the only prayer listed in the entire book of Proverbs. The first thing Agur asks for is that God would remove from him anything that would hinder his walk with God, such as vanity or lying. Secondly, Agur requests that God would not give him anything that would hinder his relationship with God, such as poverty or even wealth. More than anything, Agur just wants to be pleasing to God. So what's on your spiritual bucket list? Let your list be all about pleasing God.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience news team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:21, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Dave Greenwood. He's the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. Hey, Dave, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday to you. What sort of conditions are we looking at this weekend? I know there's a disturbance out in the Gulf, but is it affecting the flags?
No, we've still got a yellow flag posted from last night, and we'll probably will be today. The surf isn't our part of the Gulf up here. The surf hasn't been affected that much by the storm, but there's a concern, and everybody should pay heed to the warnings. I was driving into the parking lot, and I saw two pickup trucks clearly drive right past the sign that says, "Do not enter, one way only."
Into the emergency lot, into the sheriff's lot.
No, they were driving into the main parking lot, and I thought, you're not supposed to go in that way, but they did anyway. So they clearly drove right by the sign that says "one way, wrong way, wrong way."
Goodness, there's only so many signs you can post, right?
And that therein lies the problem, is everybody says, well, you should just post a flag. Well, if we posted 1,000 flags up and down the beach, people are still going to ignore them. We need lifeguards out there to enforce any type of action we have.
That's exactly it.
And the surf isn't really that big, you know, and it's a beautiful morning. It's gorgeous out here today.
Hey, I wanted to ask you one thing. I know this news story has been running around that the sargassum has got the Vibrio, and therefore it's at risk. And I know you have opinions about this matter, and you are our local beach safety expert. What do you think about this?
Well, I got to hand it to whoever could tie those two big, high-profile words, sargassum, seaweed, and flesh-eating bacteria together, they need to get an award, because that gets everybody's attention. I've got people from Texas calling me sometimes going, hey, we heard about the flesh-eating bacteria, and if you go in the water, you'll just come out just a walking skeleton. No, it's very, very, very rare occurrence that you have any interaction with that. The big threat that we have to be aware of is drowning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everyone should realize, that the worst that can happen is out here you can drown. And as far as the other small things that you could run into, that's very, very minor. And the major threat out here is drowning.
Well, there is a thing, the novel words, the new idea, the thing you haven't heard before, the thing you didn't know you're supposed to be scared of, captures people's attention. Just telling them that they shouldn't drown in a rip current. We've heard that before. Well, yeah, but it's still a threat. That's still the big danger you have to deal with. The other thing, so I appreciate you putting some perspective on that. The other one I wanted to ask you about is, I think we all saw this video from, I think it was this week, I don't think it was last week, but of the hammerheads swimming in the surf, not that far off of the shore at Pensacola Beach, maybe a couple hundred feet out. And I assume your perspective on that, you correct me if I'm wrong, is, yeah, there's sharks in the Gulf.
Yeah, they're always out there. I was talking to someone from Louisiana a few days ago. I said, we got sharks out there just like you have alligators. And yeah, they're always out there, but they're not a problem. And if you look statistically, more people in Florida die by alligators than sharks.
See, this is the kind of thing that I love having you on to say, because it's true. Like, keep your perspective. Like, what's really a risk? It's not that. It's, again, as you said, it's the drowning and people overestimating their ability to swim and thinking that the Gulf is a backyard swimming pool and all of these things. That's why I love having you on, Dave. Dave Greenwood is the Pensacola Beach Water Safety Chief for Escambia County. David, thanks so much for keeping the beaches safe. And, you know, thanks for telling us the truth about some of this stuff and keeping it in perspective, man. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I appreciate the opportunity to kind of shed some light on this beautiful place that I get to call my workplace.
No, we appreciate that. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3. We've got Candy's out today, but Gracie is in with traffic on the fives.
Roadways are looking good right now. I-10, I-110, not showing any delays. If you do see something on the roads, just give me a call to the traffic line, 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Dave, I always have the David Greenwood in my head because when I go to you, David, but David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden will be addressing the nation this evening about the debt ceiling bill that passed Congress this week. The Senate approved the measure yesterday. It's headed to the president's desk now. Ford reversing their earlier decision to remove AM radios in their vehicles. It's still happening with some other vehicle manufacturers, though. NBC's Katie Beck says there's concerns about sending out alerts in an emergency.
Sales were up 65% last year, and the car companies that make them are ditching AM radios in their new models. Automakers say it's because the motors on electric cars interfere with AM frequencies.
And Ford CEO Jim Farley recently announced that they would be continuing to put AM radios in their vehicles. Hey, today's National Donut Day, Andrew.
Woohoo!
That's really all I got to say about that. It's National Donut Day. Who doesn't love donuts?
I brought you an instant Homer, right?
Woohoo! Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
It's a good Homer.
Thanks, man.
The impression is spot on.
I'm just going to fade into the ferns now. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 727 News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is one of those, like, weird little stories that so caught my attention that I had to share it with you. You guys know New College. You probably never heard of New College before. New College is a liberal arts college. It's a state college, right, that, you know, the governor wiped out the board, put in the new people. They're trying to turn it into a Hillsdale of the South, which is like a conservative philosophy, you know, kind of that's, you know, traditional liberal arts college and not the, you know, wildly liberal one that it has been for so long. So that's why it's been in the news. Well, New College of Florida has a completely unrelated issue. They're getting a new mascot name. The new mascot is the Mighty Banyans. You might ask, what's that? that's a tree. There are areas in Sarasota where that tree, where that school is located, that have this banyan tree. And the logo was designed by a student, and it was unveiled yesterday by the New College Board of Trustees. And you might think, well, okay, that's interesting. Yeah, and certainly having a tree as your mascot is a little bit unorthodox. Let me tell you that the tree, weird and inert as it is, you know, they're not the most agile of things, right, trees, that the tree is a massive upgrade from their former mascot. Do you know what the former mascot is? This is super nerd stuff. The null set. Okay, you know what brackets, like just parentheses, look like? And then the brackets that had little squiggles on them, okay? In mathematics, a null set is the squiggle brackets with nothing in it. An empty, like there's nothing in that. Like, I don't know what would be an example. All the square roots of negative numbers, for example, because that doesn't exist, right? Sorry to math nerd on you for a second, but it's empty set. And so they've been the New College null sets has been their mascot. A mathematical concept, because apparently in the original version of like the school charter or whatever, where they were setting everything up, they didn't have a mascot. And so they left it as like a blank space with this marker. And then they just kind of left it. And so it became the New College null sets. Go null sets. Go null. I'm seriously. Now, I think maybe they didn't have a high emphasis on intercollegiate athletics before. So now that they're trying to push more in that direction, they're having to come up with it. But it's this drove me to reading an article on the top 9 most baffling college mascots from all over the country. Things like Whittier College's Johnny Poet. Go Poets. The Geoduck at Evergreen State. The Billiken at St. Louis University, where I used to teach. And that is one of the weirdest mascots ever. It's from a marketing scheme from the early 20th century. It's just a strange one. Anyway, the Wooshocks at Wichita State. Otto the Orange at Syracuse. The Purple Cow at Williams. Lord Jeff at Amherst. Artie the Fighting Artichoke at Scottsdale Community College, where I also used to live. Weirdly how this is two of them follow me around. But number one, like the top answer of the 9 weirdest school mascots, is the empty set, or the null set, from New College of Florida. No mascot at all. There you go. What do you have coming up, David? And now the Banyans.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. The Senate passes the debt ceiling plan, beating the June 5th deadline.
Now Democrats are feeling very good tonight.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, 4 Democrats voted against it. Now the bill goes to the president's desk. He'll address the nation later tonight. The White House says President Biden feels fine after he stumbles and falls on stage during the Air Force Academy graduation. Ohio Congressman Max Miller.
Number one, it's incredibly sad. And he's obviously trying to make a joke out of it because he's embarrassed.
The Republican and former aide to President Trump last hour on Fox Business. A former president during a town hall in Iowa.
When the energy comes down, other things come down, and we're going to take care of things. We're going to immediately close up the border.
Trump on Fox's Hannity. Gas prices ticking down about a penny, $3.56 a gallon. That from AAA. Diesel down as well, $3.94 a gallon. America's listening to Fox News.
Good Friday morning, 7:31, News Radio 92.3. Looks like an absolutely beautiful morning out there right now. Sunshine, 75 degrees here in Pensacola. If you've ever dreamed of being a firefighter, your chance to join us, Gambia Fire Rescue, is here. They're holding testing tomorrow for potential firefighter cadets.
So we are continuing to grow our fire fleet and our EMS fleet as well. Our budget will reflect that. In both instances, and we're going to be looking for folks who want a good career.
Escambia County Administrator Wes Moreno there. The testing being held tomorrow at Pensacola Fire Station 4 on North Q Street. The testing including push-ups, sit-ups, a 1.5-mile run. There's also firefighter-specific testing that'll be included. And testing available for certified firefighters that need to take a current physical abilities test. The West Florida high school teacher accused of pointing a gun at his wife last May, earlier this month, asking prosecutors now to drop his case. According to the News Journal, Jared Mahotny pleaded not guilty to aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and asked that the charges be dropped in part based on statements made by his wife during his first court appearance. According to the report, his wife said that Novotny is not a danger to her or his children. Novotny also asking that he be allowed to have visitation with his children. Jury selection starting June 12th for the Pensacola man accused in a fatal shooting in November of 2021 at the Oakwood Terrace Apartments.
According to the PNJ, 26-year-old Jeremy Lane is charged with second-degree murder in the death of Travion Smith. At the time of the shooting, investigators say Lane and Smith hadn't liked each other for a few years and guns had been drawn prior to that shooting. Lane was arrested in McIntosh, Alabama after he fled the scene. If convicted, he faces a minimum of 40 years in prison. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. The Pensacola Police Department now has a suspect in custody in connection to a stabbing that happened yesterday. Investigators described it as being a domestic incident in nature. According to a tweet yesterday, PPD said they were searching the Tanglewood Apartments that's off Spanish Trail Road. And as of now, the suspect and charges that have been filed have not been made available. Congressman Matt Gaetz in the crosshairs of a human rights group after a drag show that was planned at an Air Force base in Nevada had to be canceled back in March. Gaetz grilled Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin over several drag shows advertised on military bases and questioned whether the DOD was actually supporting them.
At Nellis Air Force Base, you had the Drag You Nellis on June 17th. Who funded these things, Mr. Secretary?
Listen, drag shows are not something that the Department of Defense supports or funds.
So. But wait, why are they happening on military bases? I just showed you the evidence.
Last week, Gates again followed up with a letter demanding answers on why they were still happening. Shortly after that, a drag show scheduled for the first day of Pride Month yesterday at Nellis was canceled, prompting the Human Rights Campaign to ask the Pentagon why they're giving in to right-wing pressure. It is 735 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Gracie.
Roadways are looking great right now. Nothing to slow you down this Friday morning. If you do see something on the roads, just make sure to give me a call to the traffic line, which is 850-2626-111. And this traffic report is brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
And thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing an isolated chance of rain today, but a few more peaks of sunshine. 30% chance of rain overall with a high near 89. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. We're going to be warming up as we head into the weekend. 20% chance of rain on Saturday with a high near 92. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 67. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 75, the sun shining in Pensacola. You're 75 also in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. And your next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe.
Sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice, then say it's very nice, and then you run.
All right, I want to take a second and talk about a domain that you probably don't think an awful lot about. I want to talk about high school and college debate. I debated in high school for several years. I debated in college, I think, for 1 year, if I remember correctly. It's so long ago, it's hard to remember. I think just for the 1 year. And I am a massive advocate for debate. Like, I think that you should, you know, if you can get your kids involved in debate, it is 100% to the good for them, because they will learn how to articulate views they don't believe in. They will learn how to weigh evidence and create arguments and make plans and learn logic and, you know, speak in public and win and lose and get evaluated. These are all good things. Okay, I'm a big fan of debate. And if it's friends, if it's a extemporaneous speech, you know, whatever. If it's theater, I mean, that's fine. Theater is different. It's not, you know, the same kind of thinking, but it is useful. Acting is a good thing for people to know. All of this stuff, okay, but particularly for debate. The reason I bring this up is a friend sent me an article, came out of a place I'd never heard of called the Free Press. Not like the Detroit Free Press. I think it's just the Free Press. Anyway, but the article title was, "At High School Debates, Debate is No Longer Allowed." And it was written by a guy named James Fishback, who says, "My 4 years on high school debate team in Broward County, Florida, taught me to challenge ideas, question assumptions, and think outside the box. It also helped me overcome a terrible childhood stutter. And I wasn't half bad. I placed 9th my first time at the National Speech and Debate Association Finals, 6th the Harvard National, was runner-up at the Emory National." Okay, so, you know, he's a debate. He's more of a debater than I was, all right? And then he goes on, and there's this website called Tab Room. And Tab Room is, it was new to me, but Tab Room is a place where you can go to get information on judges, on their experience, on their voting, on everything related to high school debate. And the reason this is relevant is because you get assigned a debate judge for your round, and what you'll go do, like, apparently, this is, they did not have this when I was in debate. When I was in debate, we just, you know, we knew what we were arguing, we'd go into the room, we argued it, okay? This, in this case, you know who the judge is going to be, and the job of the judge is to decide who does the best debating. Not to decide who has the right arguments, but who does the best debating, right? So they're supposed to be value neutral, principle neutral, they're supposed to be genuinely a judge. And so you go in there. But I guess under the new system, you will look up the judge and you'll find out what their judging paradigm is, which I can see in some circumstances the sort of things that a judge might have as a paradigm might be useful to know. But the problem is that some of these judges in Tab Room for high school and I guess college debate, but this is mostly focused on high school debate. I mean, these people have their beliefs are how they judge. And they're saying it. Like, here's one example, a person named Krita Sharma. says things I dislike, accidental racism, sexism, etc., that isn't corrected with an appropriate apology. Men talking over female debaters. Climate change denial. Things that will cause you to automatically lose. This is a judge. This is an official posting of this judge's debating paradigm. Things that will cause you to automatically lose. Any kind of harassment or intentional isms. Misgendering someone repeatedly. Referring to undocumented immigrants as illegals. And you lose. What the what? And that's, by the way, this is like just a start. Somebody here says, this is Shubham Gupta. If you say anything that is outright racist, ableist, sexist, homophobic, or anything else that makes your opponent unreasonably uncomfortable, I stop the round and I give you the L20. I'm not sure what that is, but it's a down mark, I think, on their scores. There's no excuse for saying anything like that. And again and again, somebody here says, X Braithwaite says, if you're addressing me, call me X. I will dock your speaker points by a half if you call me anything else but judge or X. Debate is not a game, this, I think, male writes. Debate is not a game. Debate has material impacts for those people who engage in it, especially people of color. Please be mindful that debate is sometimes some debaters' only option when it comes to funding college or having a platform to speak freely. And it's just not unreasonable to consider how it can be a game for some and not for others. You have a high threshold to prove to me why it is. Hint, maybe find better or more effective arguments. In other words, this person thinks that debate is not a game and will explicitly have different rules for black and white debaters. They actually say in one part of it, it says in terms of evidence, like sometimes you have to disclose evidence to your opponents before the debate and sometimes not. And he says, and he uses not the really bad N-word, but the slightly less bad word, okay, the one that ends in an A, not an ER. And he says, you disclose to blank. That means that if you're white and you're debating a black team, you have to give your evidence to them in advance. If you're black debating a white team, you do not have to give your evidence to them in advance. This is a debate judge. High school debate. And that's not the worst one, not even close. Like, we're not even close to the worst one. This is Lila Lavender's statement. Lila Lavender says, I judge every debate format in the same way and the flow and based on that's how well the arguments are coordinated and based on in some way or another which team or debater wins offense that outweighs their opponents. That's all standard stuff. And by the way, most of the judges I think on this platform are very standard. They just, you know, speak clearly, focus on arguments, make them coherent, have fun, be persuasive, be respectful. I mean, you know, very bland, normal stuff. Almost like why bother writing anything? Back to Lila Lavender. Lila Lavender. I will never vote for rightist, capitalist, imperialist positions or arguments. For example, capitalism is good. Neoliberalism is good. Imperialist war is good. Fascism is good. Bourgeois like U.S. nationalism. Normalizing Israel or Zionism. U.S. white fascist policing is good. Barring the above, read whatever you want and I'll vote on it if you win. The what? Goes on. The longer explanation. Before anything else, including being a debate judge, I'm a Marxist-Leninist Maoist. I have realized that as a result of this, I cannot check the revolutionary proletarian science at the door when I'm judging, as that's both impossible and opportunism. If you've had me as a judge before, this explicit decision of mine does not change how you understand how I evaluate rounds, with one specific exception. I will no longer evaluate and thus ever vote for rightist, capitalist, imperialist positions or arguments, meaning arguments or positions which defend the bourgeois class dictatorship, monopoly capitalism, and thus imperialism from a white ring political form, i.e. the politics, ideology, and practice of the right wing of the bourgeoisie. This person who is, I almost hate to say it, but it just happens to be true, later on says, I am a transgender woman who has a deeper voice. Please take that into account. It's exhausting to see judges and debaters who are unable to resolve this contradiction, either attribute my presence on the panel or treat me like a man as a result of my voice. Non-black debaters should not read Afro-Press. If you do, I will drop you. Meaning, don't explore the arguments being made by people that are not of your class because you can't understand them properly. If you make arguments against counter-revolution, if you don't know, is the term for the police being used to suppress a revolution. And this person says, if you argue in favor of the police and counter-revolution, I'll drop you. That means lose. And then I think my favorite part, like my favorite part of this is Lila says, if I were to extend this paradigm of mine, and it's all into the details of what liberalism is and conservatism and counter-revolutionism. If I extended my paradigm appropriately according to what I believe, I would mean I would be impossible for me to evaluate 99% of the rounds, or there would be an even higher chance of me getting struck out of the pool for having bias, for being no good as a judge. Which, in the practical sense, is not a decision I can make because, as a result of the U.S. monopoly capitalist exploitation, I rely in part on judging to eat and survive bourgeoisie class warfare otherwise. So within that context, as much as I can, I will use my power as a judge to propagate the Maoist line and remove as much of the most explicit reactionary arguments and positions as possible. I'm not inventing this. This is not the transgressors. This is an actual, very, very proliferate judge in high school debate. I looked at hundreds and hundreds of debate tournaments. Apparently, that's the primary income for this person. Ends the paradigm statement with this. If you have any questions or good faith criticisms of anything I mentioned within my paradigm, please don't hesitate to email me. I will always get back to you as soon as I can. Proletarians of all countries, unite. I was reading this article and then I got lost on the spiral of reading some of these debate paradigms and I couldn't believe it. Debate is such a beautiful, wonderful American thing where you can explore ideas and learn to make arguments and take anything seriously and learn to distinguish between emotion and propaganda and bad evidence and bad reasoning and think on your feet. And you're supposed to do this in front of an impartial arbiter of who has done the better debating at that moment in that round, not somebody who's going to disqualify you because you said the word illegal alien or made a bourgeoisie or liberal or counter-revolutionary argument that somehow favored capitalism because they happened to be a Maoist. This is insanity. And I hope, because I don't know perspective-wise, I hope it's rarer than it seems from the ones I was browsing because this seems relatively common. Not quite to that one's extent, but some of the other ones that I read you, it seems to be pretty normal. 7:48 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's out today. We've got traffic on the fives with Gracie.
Roadways are looking great right now this Friday morning with I-10 and I-110 not showing any delays, as well as 29 north and southbound lanes and 90 throughout Pensacola looking good. If you see something else, give me a call at 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Have you been thinking about getting fit but don't know where to start? Why not start at Running Wild? Running Wild specializes in fitting every person to the proper shoe, apparel, and training designed for their unique needs. An essential resource to the community on all things fitness related, Running Wild takes pride in serving, teaching, and encouraging customers to reach new goals. Start your fitness journey with the experts at Running Wild in Pensacola and Fairhope. Follow on Facebook or shop online at WeRunWild.com.
Experience the freedom of PGT Custom windows and doors with one of our best deals ever. With over 7 million units installed and zero reported impact failures, PGT impact-resistant windows and doors give you confidence in your investment. Now, through July 31st, you can earn $35 off every window and $110 off every door from PGT's WinGuard line of products. Reimagine your lifestyle. Go to PGTWindows.com to learn more. That's the freedom of PGT.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation in a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com. or call 1-855-ELOQUIS.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
So, what's your name?
Fletch.
Full name?
Fletch F. Fletch.
I see. And what do you do for a living, Mr. Fletch?
I'm a shepherd.
Good morning, 752, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Fiesta Parade tonight at 7 o'clock. Going to have a good time there. Also, the senior chillout is going on right now at all your area Lowe's. I'll be there at the one at Mobile Highway at 11 o'clock this morning, hanging out with my good friend Josh Newby and Gracie, who's going to be out there as well, representing
the
Cat.
Yep, I'll be there.
Outstanding. Cat Country. She is the new one of the co-anchors of the news show from 4 to 7 now with Joe Ford, and also does the evening show on Cat Country from 7 to 12. So she has a long day the last 2 days.
Yep. She's a night owl. She's
long
hanging in there.
Day. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Italian police have arrested a man that apparently stripped naked at the Vatican in a protest on the war in Ukraine. A Vatican source says the man was visiting St. Peter's on Thursday when he took his clothes off and stood naked on the church's main altar. He apparently had some inscription painted on his back calling for people to save the children of Ukraine. Vatican guards handed him over to Italian police.
But why at the Vatican?
I don't know. It seems
really bizarre.
To persuade
them to be anti-war? They're kind of already there.
Yeah, no, the whole thing just seems very bizarre. I guess maybe he just figured that's where he'd get the most attention with that type of thing.
Well, you know, it worked. Here we are, you know, talking about him in Pensacola. Yeah. So.
The head of Twitter's trust and safety team has resigned. Ella Irwin oversaw content moderation. She told Reuters that she'd stepped down but didn't give a reason. And President Biden having a sense of humor about his fall after a speech at the Air Force Academy's graduation ceremony. Boy, that audio quality wasn't very good, but
wicked. I got jetliner in my ear now.
He returned to Washington D.C. yesterday after the ceremony in Colorado Springs, and his staffers say he tripped over a sandbag that was holding up a teleprompter. Unfortunate placement.
Yeah, it is a little bit, and you know, it's one of these things where the problem, of course, is that he's got a habit,
right.
Walking problems and stumbling up the stairs to Air Force One and falling off the bike and like all of this stuff. And so you view it in that context when, I mean, literally anybody on a stage that didn't notice a black sandbag at your feet that's out front walking around and thought could easily, I could have done this. Anybody could have done this. Problem is when you see the president collapse in a heap and have to be helped up by the Secret Service, it's not a good look.
No. Well, and the thing that was odd to me about it was why would they place a sandbag that close to his feet when he's obviously fallen multiple times?
Here's my theory. It's in front of the podium is where this was, and he was behind the podium for the speech. Then he walks out in front, and he's kind of doing the handshake and the wave at all the cadets, and that's when he encountered the sandbag. Typically, if you're setting up a system like this, you wouldn't anticipate your speaker to be walking out in the front, or at least if they did, you would think they would see I think that's what happened. So, David, thanks so much for the update. By the way, the other unfortunate part about this for Biden is that you'll remember when Trump gingerly walked down what he said was a very slick, I think it was the Air Force Academy, if I remember correctly, back in 2020. And at the time, Biden used that as an opportunity to attack the vigor and health of then, President Trump.
Look at how he steps and look how I step. Watch how I run up ramps and he stumbles down ramps. Okay? Come on.
Yeah, I haven't seen you run up a lot of ramps lately. I have seen you do a lot of... not so much the coordinated approach to a lot of things lately, which, you know, it's sort of like funny once, and at a certain point it becomes sad when you start to think about, well, that is our president, and How do people not see that this is really a pattern? 7:56 on News Radio 92.3. Gracie's got traffic on the fives.
Roads are looking great today. Nothing to slow you down. 3 Mile Bridge and Garcelle Point Bridge also running smoothly. If you see something else, give me a call to the traffic line, 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Gracie. Oh, man, I saw this story. Man, this has got to be more than a week or so ago, but I just have, you know, I get pushed around by the news of the day a lot of times and don't get to the stuff I really want to cover. But you know what? Nah, I'll save that one for Monday. I guess it's a really good story, and I want to try to go through it too quickly. There's another story that is news of the day. See, it happens. News of the day always pushes me around. This is big good news, but there's an asterisk bad news element to it, okay? The big good news is the CDC came out with its demographic birth rate data yesterday. So we know what the birth rate is for various races, and we know what the birth rate is for various ages. The teen birth rate in the U.S. has declined to a historic low. It's down from, it had been 61 in 1991 per thousand. Okay, 61, so that's 6%. It's a crazy high number for 15 and 19-year-olds, okay? 61 per thousand. It is now down to 13.5 per thousand, so it's below 1%. So it's a little more than a tenth of a percent. There's 1%. Excuse me, it's about 1%. That's still too much, okay? You know, 16-year-olds shouldn't be having babies, okay? That's still too high, but that is a serious reduction over the last 35 years. And it keeps going down, and it went down again this year from 13.9 to 13.5. That's good news, okay? Genuinely good news. Now, the rate of the decline seems to be slowing. That's got some people concerned that it might either be not getting any better or preparing for a rebound. I don't think that's likely. And there's a lot of argument about why. Is it because contraception is more widely available? Is it because girls just aren't having sex very much? Hopefully that's the reason. Is it, you know, maybe a systemic problem where people in general aren't engaging in romance and dating and sex, which is also kind of a problem for this younger generation? And I worry about how that's going to manifest when they get older, if they get married, if they have kids, all of that. But so far, so good. Okay, good news, good news. The one thing, though, that is not reported in the story, and I had to really go looking to find the information, because my thought was, okay, well, historically, the various races have not all been equally represented in these numbers, and this is an average for all 15 and 19-year-olds. And so I was curious, where can we make the most progress still? Like, where is the place we want to focus? You know, historically, white teenagers delivering babies has been much lower than Hispanic and Black, and so that's been the area to focus on. All of them matter. All of them can do better. But yeah, it's true. It's declined ever so slightly for all the groups, but Hispanic and Black birth rates are at 20, just over 20 per thousand. Whites are just below 10. So it's double. It's actually a little bit more than double for Black and Hispanic teenage girls. So that's the place we want to focus. That's where we can make the most difference in reducing this overall rate. You know, not so much dealing with whites.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.